We want to get started today because we got something there. We got a little treat for you today. Treat, because this is Thanksgiving. We got a video. We want to show them what we got going on here. Can you show me something? The pretty Ashley Faye is going to show us something. Oh, yeah. I told you not to show that part. Don't look at that
Elvis.
Part. Oh, yeah. It's been 10 years since Elvis came to the Vineyard Church. Come on, Mel. Where you at, Mel? Help me out, Mel. Turn it up a little bit. That's too quiet. Can't feel it. Elvis choreographed that. Mel did that last year, I think it was. Oh, the pelvis. Didn't read that. There you go. These are all moves, yeah. Oh, me like it, yeah. Oh, the rubber legs. Come on, Pat. You want to stand up, give me some rubber legs? Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, me like it.
Come on, everybody, take a real deep breath.
Uh-huh. Ladies, quit yelling. Quit yelling, ladies. Oh, hey. Oh, the look, the look. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, how I wish Elvis was here today, but he's not. Oh, 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 what's coming up the aisle there? Who's coming up the aisle there? Big hand for Elvis. Here he comes. Big hand for Elvis. Come on, Elvis. Come on. Oh, go work. Give me that rubber leg there. Come on. Karate! Karate! Oh, yeah, the lip curl. Oh. Come show me something else.
There's something wrong with my lip.
Oh, yeah, come on, remember that? Do you remember that? 1968, huh? Oh, yeah. You looked better back then, I'm telling you. Okay, show me your karate move. Come on. Show some karate moves up here. Come on. Here's your last one, Elvis. We're gonna give you a chance here. Oh no, you got a couple more. Windmill! Come on, windmill it for me, baby. Oh, 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 yeah, come on. Viva! There it is, there it is, there's your wheel. Give me the wheel, give me the wheel. Oh, be like, oh. There it is. And leaving the building, but not yet are you there. Not yet, that's right. Well, we want to welcome you here to the Vineyard Church, Elvis. It's been a while since you've been here.
I got a few things to say. Number one, it's my favorite time of year. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. that's all I got.
Well, I tell you, we've known you for saying thank you very much for a long time. Can you tell us just a little bit, why are you always saying thank you very much?
Because I appreciate it, Raymond. All my life, I've been blessed. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, we're going to ask you one last question here, Elvis, and we're going to let someone in the audience pick that question. There we go. If you want to ask Elvis a question, get your hand up. I'll pick you. Hand up there. Yelly. Yeah, what you got? No, you, oh, no, yeah. This is a strange woman to you, but just ask her a question.
I'm not.
Will you marry her?
Will you marry her?
Let me talk to Priscilla.
Big hand, Elvis Presley. Yeah, yeah. There he goes. There he is. Elvis Presley, if you want to get some pictures with him later, he'll be out in the back. Keep your uniform on, Elvis, so we can get some snapshots with you. Somebody take some shots here tonight, or today as it is, so we can make sure everyone knows that Elvis was in the building. There you go. Big hand for Elvis again, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. You may now sit down. There you go. Thank you very much. Like I said, today is the 10-year anniversary of the first time Elvis showed up here at the Vineyard Church Conroe. And stand up, sir. Don't sit down yet, sir. You go ahead and stand up. Played by our illustrious, unassuming pastor, Brian Fox. Give him a big hand. He's our first Elvis. And after that, his wife forbid that it would ever happen again. And I think that may be happening here today as well. He has been played a couple other times here in the church by Frank Jackson. He's come and visited us twice, yes. He and Bell are out of town for family business out in California, so he could not be a part of that. Leaving space for it. That was Phil Wright, if you didn't know that, Tara. Phil Wright. Did you know Elvis had a beard this year? Yeah, he did. He's been hanging out. Been hanging out somewhere, hiding out. There you go. That's fantastic. Well, the reason we like to have Elvis Presley here at the Vineyard Church is because he's the biggest Thanksgiver I've ever known. Yeah, he lives at Graceland. They turn Grace all the time and everything. And I'm a big Elvis fan. I grew up listening to Elvis, and I love Elvis Presley. Am I the only one who loves Presley? Get your hand up if you love Elvis Presley. Oh, yeah, my buddy. Yeah, I see that. I see that hand. Anyhow, as we come in and we look at this thing here, we got to understand this about him, is that long before he was a worldwide megastar, and by the way, this is the 60th anniversary of Love Me Tender movie, and also Heartbreak Hotel this year is the 60th anniversary. Anyone feeling old yet, get your hand up. There you go. That's right. 60 years of that is there. But he was a poor country boy who was raised, he later moved to Memphis, but he was in Tupelo. And so for him, he often thought, God must have a call on my life, and there must be favor on my life, that he would take someone who was so nondescript, who had nothing going for them, and make a worldwide sensation out of me. And that's the way Elvis thought, and I've seen many times where he has said those kind of things in interviews and things that much, and that's probably the impetus behind the thank you very much, because he often would say that. His life would eventually spiral out of control, and he died at the ripe old age of 42. Anybody 42 here today? Raise your hand. Would you like to die? No, I don't think so. Quit shaking your head, yes. But the thing is that even though he did go through that, he was to the very end a Thanksgiver, as we will call him. And in his heyday, one of the things he loved to do was buy Cadillacs. Oh, I'm buying a Cadillac, honey. Oh, come on over here. Let me buy you a Cadillac. I'm going to take you to the Graceland for a criminal. Buy you a Cadillac. He loved buying Cadillacs. Matter of fact, Dave, you know where that started? He actually had this pink Cadillac that he liked to drive, and it was the impetus behind Baby, Let's Play House. Some of you remember that big hit. But he was driving that car, and somewhere between Texarkana and Hope, Arkansas, the brake lining overheated, and that car burned up right there on the side of the road. That's right, that first pink Cadillac. So he bought another blue Cadillac. Brand new Fleetwood, and he had it painted pink, but left the top black. And he gave that to his beautiful mama, Gladys. And Gladys never had a driver license in her life, but he bought that car for his mama. And that was the beginning of him buying Cadillacs for folks. He ended up giving a lot of them to Joe Fontana, the man who brought him his water and scarves. And he gave a lot of those. He bought 6 Cadillacs for his housemaid, actually, who cooked at his home. You'd like to have a job in the kitchen there, wouldn't you, ladies? And that was one of the things he liked to do, was give those Cadillacs away. It's even been said that he gave a Cadillac to one woman he saw on the street. She was in poverty and had a child, went down and bought her a Cadillac. Now, she couldn't eat anything, and she couldn't afford the gas for it, but, boy, she had a Cadillac. That's the way that worked. It's been said that he bought over 200 Cadillacs in his life for people. Matter of fact, 2 years before he died, he went into a Cadillac dealership and laid down $140,000, which today would buy 3 Cadillacs. But back then, he bought a little more, and he bought Cadillacs for his friends before he died. That was the kind of Thanksgiver that he was. And that's why today you're looking at a Cadillac Thanksgiving, because we like that kind of stuff. We like those Cadillac Thanksgivings that are there. And so as we look at these kind of things with Elvis, we realize this here. He lived the dream life that most of us could only dream of. Some say, well, I didn't dream of that life. Well, I'm just trying to say, other than peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, he had a good life. And one of the things we realize is that most of us haven't had the life where we're megastars and everything's been brought to us that way. But this is what Paul says to us. He says this here, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Meaning, even when you ain't getting a Cadillac from Elvis, you understand that, Lan? Even when that ain't happening, and that ain't happened today, then your whole thing is that you want to do this here. You want to be someone who gives thanks. See, Elvis, you know, he hung around this parts in Conroe. Did you know that? Matter of fact, Elvis played just across the street over here behind Travis Intermediate. He played over there, and Mrs. Conroe across the street saw him play over there. Elvis came around. That was 1955. You can go ahead and do a search on that. Scotty Moore was with him as well for you Elvis fans there at that time. What'd you say? Magnolia Garden, you played there too. You played all over Houston area, and some of you might have known that about Elvis, but we'll save those Elvis stories for later. Matter of fact, later, what, Cheyenne, what we're going to do, we're going to have some Elvis story time. So you bring yours with us. So, but this is one of the things that Paul also says this here. He says that it's, in stating this here, that it's more than just saying thank you. Because when you give somebody a something, what you expect them to do is say thank you. But is that really what Thanksgiving is? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Paul puts it like this here in Colossians 3:17. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That this whole Thanksgiving is part of our life in word and deed. That we are called to be people who have the spirit of Thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude, if you need something to remember. And this is what we're called to do, is be these kind of Thanksgivers. So today, if you want to know what a Cadillac Thanksgiving is, show them, Ashley. Bam! Didn't work. Bam! Didn't work again. That's okay. If I had a drum roller up here, can you give it to me? There it is, Cadillac Thanksgiving. Show me what a Cadillac Thanksgiving is there. Can you give me? You got that? No? That's okay. I'll tell you then. The Cadillac Thanksgiving is being thankful for all we have by giving all we are. There it is. Thank you very much. Give her a big hand there. That's it. That's what Cadillac Thanksgiving is. Being thankful for all we have by giving all we are. Now, that seems simple to you. And you said, boy, you went through a lot of stuff just to get that out there to us. And I did. But that's why you pay me the big money, so I can give you Elvis Presley and all the accoutrements with it. Now, the point I want us to understand this here is that is a slogan in a sense, but it is the call of our life. That we take all that we have been given, and we give all that we are. We're thankful for it. Elvis was the king of rock and roll, and he gave away Cadillacs. You see, Jesus is the king of everything, and he's giving away abundant life. And I'm telling you, that may seem funny to you, but I want you to capture what I'm saying today. That what he has for us is of such great abundance that it pales never to anything, and it certainly doesn't pale. But this is what pales, is that pink Cadillac begins to burn on the side of the road out there in Arkansas in comparison to the great abundance of what he has given us there. So we look at this here, and we look what it means to do things other than just say thank you very much. And I'm going to give you three things that we look at when it comes to being Thanksgivers. Number one, we give thanks by praising the giver with our words and actions. There you go. That may seem trite to you, but check it out. Singing the praises of somebody. Think of it. Think of maybe it's your father. Maybe it was a friend. You tell everyone about them. Man, they are awesome. They're awesome people. For me, I had a friend, and Bobby and I had a friend. His name was Steve I. He was a pretty popular, still pretty popular guitar player there in Los Angeles. And Steve I was this guy. Everyone knew him as this great guitar player. And one day, we get a knock at the door, and a 16-channel mixer board comes in through our door, and Steve says, I just wanted y'all to have that because I like your band. I'm singing the praises of Steve Vai today. Now, he can't dress worth a heck if you've seen him on any guitar magazines or anything. And he plays guitars that spin around and have handles in them and seven-string guitars. But I'll tell you what, yeah, anybody know who Steve Vai is? You've enjoyed his music, have you? Well, there you go. There you go. Woo! Yeah. Anyhow, my point is that I sing the praises of a friend who's been a great giver and a generous giver in my life. And that's what it means to sing the praises of someone that's there. But with our words and actions, we've already talked about words in this, thank you very much, but we also need to understand words in this way here, our prayers. When we pray, we have a spirit of thanksgiving in us. Many of us have come into our prayer life with just nothing but complete hopelessness and a loss of anything we can be thankful for. But he calls us into this time of prayer to be able to be thankful and say, thank you, Lord. And we think of the things that he's blessed us with. And I want you to think, those of you who are parents, what it means to you when your kids are actually thankful for something that you've given them. And that they come at you and they say, thank you for the life that you've given me. And for me, my older kids now give me thanks. They weren't giving me a lot of thanks when I was yelling at them when they were young. But now they're telling me wonderful things, right, Livia, right? You want to thank me today for being a wonderful dad? Oh, I love it. Macy, you got some for me? Oh, did anyone record that? That is so beautiful. It means a lot. journaling. Some of you journal. And when you write in your journals and you write those things down that you're thankful for what God's doing, these things are important things for us because, quite honestly, I quit journaling years ago because I never wrote anything good. And I'm thinking of journaling again and beginning to thank God for the things that went on. Because the attitude that comes in me when I begin to thank Him is one of hope, one of strength, one of power that starts happening. I'm not asking you to make things up. I'm asking you to think as your kids would think, you know. Well, I don't have a game box or whatever, but thank you for dinner tonight. No, man, thank you for dinner, man. That's right. That's the way it works. Of course, there's the most historic thing away, and that is praise. And these are the field. If you look at Psalms, it's pray. Joe, you'll know this in Psalms, that it's filled with praise and thanksgiving that's there. The Bible's replete with these. I'm going to read one to you, Psalm 100 here with me. Here we go. Ready? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Big hand for that psalm right there, because that's a good one. You know, thank you. And Elvis in 1957 during an interview said this here, that he said, my first love, I would say, would be spiritual music. That Elvis actually won, the only Grammy that I know he ever won was for an actual gospel album. He still continued to love to sing those songs and to put them out there because he remembered the goodness of what God had given me. Am I trying to make Elvis a saint? No, I'm not. I'm trying to say through all those circumstances, one of the things that was endearing about the man was that he continued to be thankful to God that was there. And even though he was known as the king of rock and roll, he continued to record religious music, as they called it, intermittently throughout his entire career, and he won 3 Grammys, and they were all for his gospel records. There you go. Elvis Presley. Good job there, Elvis. Good for you. Nice zebra shirt. Love that. Okay. Now, this is what John Wimber would say to us, and John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard as it is today, and he loved worship music, and he was a good friend. And he taught me a lot about worship. And one of the things he said is this here. Worship has a twofold aspect, communication with God through the basic means of singing and praying and communicating from God through teaching and preaching the word, prophecy, exhortation, etc. We lift Him up and we exalt Him. As a result, we're drawn into His presence where He speaks to us. You see, this whole thing of thanking Him through worship and praising His name, singing those things, brings us into His presence, because He's here, guys. And that's why when we worship, we don't see worship as the warm-up for the sermon. We don't see worship as something that we throw away. It brings us into the presence of the living God. Amen? Amen? And I love that stuff that's there. I love that's there. And John Wimber, who passed away in 1997, great word that was there. He would also say, it's not about you getting anything out of worship. It's about you giving worship to God. It's not for entertainment purposes. And it's not even to prepare the audience for the sermon, to manipulate a lot of money out of you in giving. We worship for God, and we give Him thanks. We praise Him because of the good things and the wonderful things He's done in our life. Amen? All right, chicken fry. Well, I love that stuff. That's good stuff. Now, here comes number 2. You ready, Ron? I'm moving quick today. You're going to get out of here, and you're going to beat the Baptist people out to the chicken shack. This is going to be good. I've been a Baptist for years. I know where the chicken shack is, and I'll tell you, they're quick afoot in Baptist. If you're Baptist today, I'll be watching you. You'll be out of here. Oh, I'm kidding. As I was raised, we had chicken every Sunday. Here it goes. We give thanks by enjoying the gifts we have received, right? Now, let's just think about this here. Have you ever received a gift at Christmas time and you looked at the person and said, thank you very much, and then you shoved it in another drawer and you never saw that shirt again? Huh? Get that hand down. Your mama's watching you, boy. Now, what makes somebody know that you're thankful for it? When they see you wearing that shirt, huh? And they go, oh. And then when they see you wearing it a lot, he lacketh the shirt I bought him. By the way, that's King James Version. Look that up. If you like what I give you, I can assume you're going to use it. So we give thanks by enjoying the gifts we've received by using our gifts. That's the first way we do that. Use that gift. Use that gift, baby. Don't repurpose it. Use it. And would you agree with me with that? That using the gift says thank you for it? Tell me if you do, if you do. Why are you shaking your head no, Brian? Okay, all right. I said before, that's why my kids stare at me when I ask questions. I thought they were just being disrespectful. They don't understand me. There's... All right. Thank you, sir, for bringing out the fact that I don't ask good questions. There you go. Now, if I buy that shirt and you like it, you wear it, as I've said before. But how about those Father's Day ties? Anybody ever got them Father's Day ties? Uh-huh. And when you throw those things out there, you know most of those are made with polyester, and they do not decay. They're out there on that pile right now. All of the landfills across America are filled with those polyester ties and those bad prints with fish and golf clubs on them. You should feel guilty for throwing those away. If Joel Knox was here today, he would say feel guilty because he still wears them, and he would have taken them off your hand. So, very good. But as we're here, we want to realize this here, that we show that thankfulness by using the gifts that people have given us, but the same with God, that we show thankfulness for the gifts he's given us by using the gifts as he has given us and not putting them on a shelf. John Wimber said like this, everybody gets to play in the church. And think of those spiritual gifts with you. Think of the spiritual gifts he's given you, because most of you are saying, well, I never got a spiritual gift. But the truth is you did. You just may not have liked the one you got. And so you've maybe tried to repurpose it, or it's out there on the spiritual gift junk pile. But I want you to see this one here. Check this out. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, meaning whatever he's called us to do. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encouragement. If it's given, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, there's other gifts. That's not the exhaustive list. But how do we know what we're gifted at? Well, many times our desires will bubble up with the very thing that God has called us to do. Now, if you got bad desires like Savannah does, maybe those aren't your gift. If you wrap the church one more time, we're going to realize that that's not your gift, okay? So the point is that we realize that there's people I know in their lives. I see their lives even falling apart as they're going through things, but they have this tremendous sense of mercy for people, and they can't shut up about their friends and praying for their friends. And that's, no, they've got the gift of mercy. Or they come up and even though they're in the most toughest times of their life, they encourage me. Real quick, I want you to see these gifts that are there. Maybe you're like me and you just can't shut up. Maybe you got the gift of preaching. You understand this here. We don't walk away and say, I'm not gifted. We don't go away and say, I didn't get anything for Christmas because we didn't get the exact gift we wanted. We realize that the Father has gifted us uniquely with grace that's there. Are you with me today on that? And that when we get those gifts and use them, it says, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. Elvis, like I said, he went everywhere around the world, even Conroe several times. Over here at David Crockett High School, it was called then. But can you imagine what the world would have been like if Elvis would have never used the gift that he had? There'd be no lip curls. There'd be no windmills. Kermit the Frog would have never wore a wig. There'd be no teddy bears. There'd be no Jailhouse Rock for Mel to dance to during our great Valentine time. Some of you are going, and what's the problem? Well, I love Elvis. There you go. And no pink Cadillacs. That's there. So what would it look like if we use the gifts that we have been given as Elvis used his singing gift every day, everywhere? What might the world look like? What might our community look like? And what might our church look like if we engaged in the gifts that we had instead of eschewing them and wishing we had got something else as though God was some Santa Claus who just willy-nilly gave us things. I encourage you. I want to say real quick, I want to thank Chris McFarland for being up here playing guitar, because you want to talk about a gifted guitar player, and we haven't seen him play for a while. And when this guy gets up here and plays, my heart leaps inside with worship. And I want to thank you for coming back into the fold and sharing that gift. He's a good-looking man, too. He's married. His wife's in the back working. By the way, he was not here because he was working with his wife in the back doing children's worship. What a wonderful man. And leave that check in the back for him, if you will. So there you go. Now, we give thanks by enjoying the gifts we have received by valuing and taking care of the gifts, too. Okay? By valuing and taking care of, I wanted to kind of say that. How do we value something? By taking care of it. Now, as you're writing that down, I want to say that valuing it can often mean by, and taking care of it can mean I'm afraid to use it, so I put it away. Susan Bennett gave Teresa and I these wonderful china plates years ago that we love. And we put them away and wouldn't use them because we have so many kids. But at one point, I mean, Susan was telling Teresa, just use the plates. And we do now. We use them all the time. And, you know, if you break a plate, you break a plate. But we value those plates. And I don't pull out the china until all the other plates from IKEA have been distributed. But we use them all the time. Matter of fact, if I'm eating even lunch at my house, I use the china because it says so much to me and I enjoy using it. That's kind of the idea of that tension when I'm talking about, is that we value it, means something. If you've ever given someone a car and they wouldn't change at all, and it wasn't washed, and you came upon them, you just kind of shook your head a little bit, didn't you? Even though you know it's their car to use as they wish, doesn't it say a lot when you pull up and they're taking good care of something that you've given them? Amen? Come on, how much Chris is going, I don't know, I've never been given a car. Yeah, whatever happened to that Thunderbird you tore up? This guy here just completely wrecked his car a couple of weeks ago. I want to thank God that you're okay here today. Actually, someone come up on the median, or whatever it's called, and came up and hit him in the back, totaled out his car, could have killed him. And I just thank God that he protected you, and we have a big hand there for. But we also take care more than cars and things, guys. We take care of our lives. We show God that we love our life and that we're thankful for him by taking care of our bodies, by respecting what he's given us, taking care of our church, the church building. We have work days and things. It says thank you a lot. You say, well, God doesn't need a building. He sure doesn't, so let's just all give it away and meet in the streets like they do in Nicaragua, many of them. Nah, you wouldn't do that, would you? The point is everything we receive from God, and we believe in taking care of it for the purpose of saying thank you. We appreciate it, and we value it. We value our lives, and we value those gifts, by the way, that are there. It says here in 1 Peter 4:10, says, each of you should use what the gift you've received to serve others, which we mentioned, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Meaning, the word is stewardship, and we're stewarding the very gift by taking care of it. And, Ron, what are we doing? We get better at that gift. I've given you a guitar. I'd like to see you playing that guitar when I come back next year, kind of idea. I've given you a gift of prophecy. I sure would like to, when I show up, see you prophesying. That we use it and we get better at it. We improve on it. We read maybe about it. Mentor with others in these things. Because it is a way of saying, thank you, Lord. I value what you've given me, and I'm going to improve upon it. And I'm going to maintenance it. And I'm going to work on it. If I've got a singing voice, I might want to take care of my voice. These are simple things, but they mean a lot. And when God has given us something, we use it and we improve upon it for the purpose of saying, thank you. I value what you've done in my life. I don't write that off as nothing. I see it as something very valuable, and I'm going to continue to work on it. Here's one, people's time. When someone gives you time, do you value their time? Do you sit back and are you ready to, hey, I'm going to meet with you. We're going to have prayer time. Do we value that time? Do we value God's time? In a sense, meeting with him and so thankful for him and that kind of stuff. The creative gifts he's given us, that we work on them. What are those things? Our marriages, when he gives us marriages, do we work on them? We seek to learn more and do them better. I think I've said it there. Are you with me on that one there? You didn't like that point, did you? You didn't like that point, did you? Because that means you got to work a little bit, Durwood. There you go. Big hand for Durwood. He wore the overalls today. I love it. All right. We were asked three things. What were the question? What was it, Roy? What were the three things we was asked to do? We had to write down three what? Characteristics of a man. That was in the feast for the beast of feast. I wrote down overalls, a handsome mustache. I can't remember what the third one was, but it was all Durwood, and I was thinking of Durwood. That's all I was thinking of. So he's here today. Handsome. That was handsome mustache. There you go. Mechanic. Ski, you got any mechanic gifts? There you go. There it was. There was the other one. So, all right. Well, here we go here. Let's give us this third thing. Karen, are you ready? You're already in the back. Are you ready? Can you drum roll on your pew for me, Karen? All right. She hit someone in the back of the head. That one went out. That's okay. We give thanks by sharing and giving back what we've received. Sharing and giving back what we received. Doesn't it mean something when you give something like to your kids, maybe candy, and they show their thankfulness by giving their little brother or little sister or their older brother and sister something back? Or even you something back, for crying out loud. Do you ever give a kid candy and go, can I have a piece? And they go, no. Every day. Every day. Right? Doesn't it show that you're thankful by giving back and sharing what you've been given? With our lives first, with our skills. Now that you know that Durwood has mechanic skills, you can go and he'll fix your car because he feels completely guilted into this morning. No, by our skills, it's there. Our experiences and our wisdom, we share those things. It's there. Turn this off since Elvis is texting me. Thank you, Elvis, wherever you are in the house. But giving back what we receive, let's say that it's our wisdom. Now, some of you have given your wisdom away too quickly. Why don't you wait till someone asks? But there you go. You got the idea. But our friendship, we give away what we've received in friendship. Because we often close up friendship because we've got enough of it. And when you're in a church, especially a new community that's growing and people are coming in, they get closed out because we've got our group already. But it shows thankfulness in the God that he's put you in relationships by you sharing your life with other people and be willing to do that. Through prayer, people have prayed for you. How about praying for others? What does it mean to pray for someone else and to be there and to think and bring them into that place in your mindset before God and say, would you bless them the way they blessed me? Would you heal them, Lord? Would you bring, using that gift of healing and praying for them and saying, Lord, come. Let me share. You've healed me. Let me pray for the healing of others. We often call this paying it forward, right? I've received, so I'm giving what I receive of kindness that's there. Galatians 5 says this here, my brothers and sisters were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Did you catch that, Eric? Serve one another. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Why would Jesus say that? Because he knew he loved us. He knew he loved us as his own self. That he made room for us. That he, being that of God, did not see that as something to be grasped, but he put it aside to come and be here with us and live life with us and to show the kingdom life here by living with us. Do you think it was comfortable for him to come and live here when things was doing so well before? He stepped into a place that was uncomfortable to meet those who were uncomfortable and bring them into the place of the kingdom life. And often that we are unwilling to do the same. I think he called us to give more, to give back with our lives what's there. Gratitude may be uniquely important in social relationships, one person writes, this one person being a smart person at Harvard, I think. And the moral effects of emotional gratitude are likely to be as important in maintaining individual relationships as in maintaining a smooth-running society. Meaning this here, if I'm a thankful person, I generally have better relationships. That makes sense, doesn't it, Melissa? Yeah, because don't you like friends who are ungrateful with everything? That's right. That's why you don't like me. Okay, fair enough. But the thing is that we love thankfulness. It works in a society. When you help people out and they're thankful for it, there's something good about that. People who feel more gratitude in life are more likely to notice that they've been helped. Meaning when you help someone who's gracious, they notice it. And they respond appropriately and they return the help at some future point. Meaning, hey, Stella helped me, so I'm going to help Gordon. This is the way this works. Now, if the grateful person reciprocates the favor, then the other person's more likely to reciprocate the new favor to someone else, causing an upward spiral of helping and mutual support. Does that make sense? Think of it just in a church when we pray for one another and help one another, what begins to happen in the fabric of our community that's there. Similarly, an ungrateful person is less likely to notice they're even being helped, and they're less likely to reciprocate the help, making their benefactor less willing to provide further aid. Because when someone you help is ungrateful about it, what's the first thing that you say? I'm not doing that again. I said, did you hear what I said? I'm not going to do that again. I've heard that story so many times in this church. Never stop being thankful and never stop giving. Thanksgiving are the center part of the kingdom that's going on. Because Jesus has been thankful for us and has given us his life. It was his attitude. Matthew 20 said this here. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served. This is Jesus talking, man. With his cool robe and his cool sandals on, he's a cool-looking dude. And yet he came to serve. And he gave everything away. Hey, we give thanks also by sharing and giving back what we've received with our resources, right? And yes, our gifts and things, but the resources that we've received. Money, our influence, our tithing, our clothing, our vehicles, things. When we are giving financially, we are saying to God, especially if we're tithing, we're saying, I know you gave this to me, and I thank you by giving back the percentage of what I've received. It's powerful in the kingdom. It breaks off the fear of having nothing because it's saying, I know you did it before, and I know you'll do it again, and I'm willing to give to others the way you've given to me. This is what tithing is. This is what giving of our resources is. This means when someone like Walter and Susan, she's not old, but he's old. And every time they buy a new car for the last 10 years, it's their last car. We're not buying another car, it's our last car. And then I see what happens. You know what happens to their last car? They give their last car away to somebody who needs a car, and they have to go get a new car. But my point is they're retired, and getting cash flow isn't something that just ups for them. But they've shown in the time of their life when they're on a fixed income that giving begets goodness in life and quality of life. And guess what happens when they give away their old car and get a new one? They got a nice new car. My point is, no, I'm not telling everyone to go out and buy a new car. I'm saying maybe what would happen if we begin to think of giving things away before they were destroyed, before they were too wore out for someone else to enjoy. Then we saw someone and said, you know what, let me help you with that. I absolutely love that. Robert Kraft's another person. This truck's old, I'm going to get another one. It ain't old, it's 2 years old. He knows what he's doing. He's blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And if you've ever been on the end of that blessing, and I have, you want to give it away and help someone the same way it's there. Hopefully today someone is wearing one of my shirts. That would make me happy today. Is anyone wearing a shirt I've given away? Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that. It must be a small. Okay. Can we be the kind of people who realize that Thanksgiving means giving away our resources, our life, and that it means valuing and taking care of the gifts that God's given us and using them. And it also means praising our Lord with our words and with our actions. That's what it means to be a thoughtful Thanksgiver, an empowered Thanksgiver. Paul would write to the Corinthians, and I read from the English Standard Version, so if Shannon was up here, she could put an English accent on it. But it would say, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Talking about that. Peter would write it like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us the great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in that divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And by this, let me back up. What is that divine nature? Giving. He gave of himself. He came for us. He gave away the glory to come and be with us. And of course, God gave back that glory, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He lost nothing, and he gained everything. So it is when we give away our lives, this Cadillac Thanksgiving. We take all we received, and we give all that we are. We're thankful for all we received, and we give all that we are. We participate in that nature that's there. Would you stand with me now as we look at Thanksgiving coming this Thursday? And we spend it with our families, and we see food that has been blessed to us by God and that others have brought, that we realize what it means to give, not just to receive. And that some of us are actually going to be here at church for Thanksgiving here on Thursday at 11:30. So if you've not signed up, sign up if you're going to come to that. We'll be here there too. But I want us to realize this here, that we come in this gratitude. And that we're remembering this here, the things that God has already given us. I want us to each to think of that. We also come with needs too. Many of us have come with those needs. And thankfully, God is going to meet us powerfully and abundantly at the place of our needs. And powerfully and abundantly at the place of our weaknesses. He loves to give good gifts to his children, is what the Bible tells us. And Scripture says he's not given because we've asked not in many cases. And so we want to pray this morning for those needs that are here, even as empowered Thanksgivers, to come and begin to meet the financial needs of those who've come today. That each one of us lifting up and saying, Lord, thank you for meeting what you've met here with me. I'm lifting up those here today who are struggling. Maybe their debt load has overcome them. We're praying for the freedom, a march to freedom that gets them free from that. Attitudes of gratitude often break this need to overspend. And that's what I'm asking for in my own life. Come and break, Lord, the holiday blues. Come and begin and move in crises that are coming between parents and their children in relationship. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come and begin to deal with marriage problems this morning that are here even. And the family problems that arise every holiday because we come together and have to deal with what we've put on the table and left alone. Lord, I ask that you come this morning and begin to deal with the bodies that are breaking down. Our bodies betraying us in a sense. We thought this was going to be the best year yet. And I want to be thankful, Lord, but it's so hard to be thankful because I can't walk. My back's killing me so bad. I can't work. I lost my job because I can't move anymore. I'm asking you to come, Heavenly Father, and meet us in this place. Bring physical healing. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit is present here to heal right now. This Jesus Christ, one who's given you his life, who's calling you to share your life, giving your life to him that he might give you his life in full, says, I am coming and moving in spirit to bring healing here today. And some of you, you don't know this Jesus. And this is a good day to come and get your cornucopia filled. To get that which is lacking filled to the plenty because he has come. And you might get a Cadillac from God, I did. But more than that, you'll get life abundant for all life. So regardless of the nature you need, I've lifted up these needs saying today we want to pray with you. And I ask you to come. I'm asking him to come right now and move, but for some of you, your heart's heavy for these things that are here. invite you to come to the front. If you don't know Jesus, let us pray with you. If your body is in pain, let's pray with you. If you're struggling financially in marriage, these things, Jesus Christ has come to bring the kingdom here today that we might be filled with thanks for the giver of the good gifts. So come, Holy Spirit, now. Some of us, it's just to feel his touch again, to be ignited again for the kingdom of God. That we believe so much that you want to fill us up and that you want to heal us and ignite us. That today we call you into this place now. I invite the ministry team to come forward. And as they come forward and stand here, know that the reason they're here is to lay hands and pray with you. They will not manipulate you nor even make you talk to them. But they're here as friends, as people who believe in Jesus the King, people who are skilled in knowing how to pray for the purposes of the heart of the matter to be developed and seen here as the Spirit comes. And come and meet them in this place. They will meet you down here. And I'm going to bless you and you may go, but I invite you to come even now and come after as you will. Be blessed in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit here is powerful now moving in this place. Come, Lord. Be blessed in the name of the Father. Oh, let your face shine upon them, Lord, that they would see your goodness. And Jesus, would you bless them? Bless them now that they could sense the giver of the great gift of life, forgiveness, no more shame, no more guilt, cleansing, redemption. And bless them now, Spirit. Would you just pull them into that triangulation of love, that dance that is there with the Father and Son and Spirit, and let that flow emanate of love flow out now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.